This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Mr. Sunak goes to Washington to talk AI. Hello, and I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report, coming to you live from the BBC World Service. So the UK's Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, is in Washington about to meet President Biden, and he's going to announce that Britain will be hosting the first global summit on AI regulation in the fall. A major talking point is this question of how to align AI checks and balances internationally. And one idea that's being floated is setting up a hub similar to CERN in Switzerland. That's where particle physics scientists are currently using the Hadron Collider to search for dark matter. So what's that got to do with AI? Stephanie Hare, author of Technology is Not Neutral, joins me. Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Can you explain the concept of a CERN for AI for me? And just how could that contribute to the development and regulation of AI?
Well, the call for a CERN for AI makes us think back to the sort of post-atomic bomb age. So after 1945, when the United States dropped two atomic bombs on Japan, this was a demonstration of the power, but also of the potential of nuclear weapons, but also we know of nuclear power, which is, of course, used for very peaceful means in many countries, including, for instance, France. So what to do? You create something like a CERN, which is based on the border of France and Switzerland, and it's full of researchers, thousands of researchers from all over the world who are working together for public interest technology. It's supposed to be technology that will help humanity.
At the moment, Rishi Sunak is obviously over in Washington. He's going to have a meeting with President Biden. But I mean, should those meetings as well also happen with the EU to make sure that there is that alignment?
Well, the problem that Rishi Sunak has is this. The United States and the European Union are already having these chats. And they're having their chats also with other interlocutors, other countries around the world. So because the UK left the European Union due to Brexit, that reduces our leverage. We don't really have a very strong negotiating position on that. We could potentially spin that as an advantage to say we can't house a governance body in the US because that would annoy the Europeans. We can't put it in the EU because that'll make the Americans nervous, potentially. Let's put it in the UK, which is a halfway point. This, of course, ignores the fact that the International Atomic Energy Agency is based in Vienna. NATO is based in Brussels. So Americans are actually very happy to have these sorts of bodies based in Europe. I don't think it could be based in the US for all sorts of reasons. So there is an argument, potentially, for putting the UK into the mix. It's just more, what does the UK have to bring to the discussion or offer it? The fact that our economy is struggling so much, that we have a immigration policy that we have that is pretty restrictive to tech talent in particular, our ability to invest and make really big bets has been really hampered by the past few years. And we're going to have to be very honest about that. It doesn't make us that attractive.
Are you hopeful that these regulatory talks or any regulation that might be brought in is actually going to do the job?
We've already got the European Union getting ready to vote on the AI Act this month. If, and assuming that that passes, which it's looking very likely that it will, we could see something like that coming online by, say, 2025. That's going to be the first really serious piece of legislation anywhere in the world governing AI specifically. The US is taking a different stance, saying right now we've got enough in our existing regulatory toolbox to regulate AI. So you don't have to regulate all use cases of AI at once. You might decide to do an international treaty specifically on the use of AI in warfare, for example, or AI in misinformation and disinformation so that we can protect the integrity of elections around the world, right? So you might just pick it off sort of one piece at a time, because what you don't want to do is constrain innovation. AI is here. It's happening. We're not going to stop it. And we actually don't want to stop it necessarily because there's lots of advantages to it. The question is more, how do we get our ducks in a row so we prioritize what are the biggest risks and how to protect humans from them.
Well, I'm sure we'll come back to you on this one again. Dr. Stephanie Hare, author of Technology is Not Neutral, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you.
Now let's to the numbers. Japan's economy grew faster than expected in Q1 and dug itself out of a technical recession. GDP there grew by 2.7% year on year. Cruise vacations are known for their luxury and convenience, but they're not great for the environment. That could be set to change, though. The world's first net zero emissions voyage set sail this week from France to Denmark. MSC, the world's third biggest cruise company, is powering the trip with hundreds of tons of bio-liquid natural gas, which is made from organic waste, and the ship is set to reach Denmark today. Lyndon Capel is the company's vice president of sustainability, environmental, social governance, and she's aboard the ship right now and admits that if customers want to cruise sustainably, you'll have to pay a little extra.
I think these transitions will inevitably mean that there'll be an additional expense to new fuels. You know, the fuels that we use now have been developed over, you know, many decades. They've been scaled up considerably. And that's really what we want to happen with newer renewable fuels. We hope to see better pricing for these fuels in the future.
Are you addressing other sustainability issues related to cruises, like over tourism in some areas, marine pollution? How can cruise companies mitigate the damages those cause?
I mean, honestly, the emissions piece and finding alternative sustainable fuels is really just one of a whole catalogue of activities that go on board the cruise ships and within the industry. When it comes to promoting responsible tourism, we work very hard with the destinations we engage with, those that we visit. We work with our shore excursion teams to come up with alternative shore excursions which have environmental and social values to them. We have systems on board. The ship I'm on right now, MSC Eurybia, can create all its own water from seawater using onboard desalination facilities. That water can be used from everything from drinking to cleaning to cooking to showers, and it has to meet a very high standard before it goes back out to the sea.
Lyndon Capel at MSC Cruises in Geneva, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you.
Now, Lionel Messi is probably arguably the world's best soccer player, and he's joining Major League Soccer side Inter Miami, which is owned by David Beckham. The rumour was that he might take a mega pay deal by joining Cristiano Ronaldo in Saudi Arabia. So how did Inter Miami, who have a salary cap in place, get the deal over the line? Soccer broadcaster Joe Lowry explains.
It looks like Messi will now enter essentially into a profit-sharing deal with Apple, which is the company that owns and is a partner with MLS for their television rights and a lot of the content rights. So Messi now is sort of in this unprecedented position as a partner with the league and their broadcast partner while playing in that league. You have Adidas offering a cut of revenue to Messi as well. Some of the financial implications and again, his stature as this incredible sporting force all coming together make this something that we've just never seen.
Joe Lowry there. And did you know $25 million David Beckham paid for Inter Miami? They'll get a good return on that. And I'm Leanna Byrne with a Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.